Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610, and we head out to West Palm Beach right now. He is presented by Texas Bay Credit Union. He has been just grinding in West Palm Beach throughout Astros spring training, and he joins us now. Adam Spillane joining us on the program. Adam, how are things in West Palm Beach? Is there a little bit of buzz in the air that there's going to be actual spring training baseball later on today and we can at least begin the process of moving on from all this, at least a little bit?
Well, right now there's a chill in the air. It's cold and it's rainy, which is perfect because I ran out of short sleeve shirts yesterday. So God had my back today. But there's a bit of a buzz today, but it really doesn't have anything to do with the spring training game. Tony Clark, who heads the Players Association, is in the Astros clubhouse, and he is meeting with the Astros players. And this is something that we've been waiting for all week. We've been expecting it all week, and today is the day where it happened. So I was in the clubhouse this morning. You got Tony Clark in there, who's in charge of the Players Union. Bobby Bonilla is in there. Dave Winfield is in there. So this is something that they do with every team in Major League Baseball, but I'm curious to know if this meeting will be any different than the other 29 that they will have.
Boy, I would imagine they might have to spend an extra day in West Palm Beach with those guys. We were just talking about before you came on, Adam, kind of the fact that if there's a chance that 8 or 9 other teams were doing similar things to what the Astros are doing, it doesn't necessarily excuse the Astros, obviously, but perhaps it would take some of this incredible intense heat off the Astros, because the sole focus of hatred is the Astros right this moment. Is there any sense, or do you get a feeling that at any point the commissioner is going to come out and maybe shed any light on the allegations into other teams?
It doesn't sound like he has any interest in doing that. Obviously, we'll find out something, hopefully maybe today, tomorrow, about the Red Sox and what they actually did during the 2018 season. So that'll take some of the heat off the Astros. But I will say this. I've been here for 9 days. At no point this week or even last week have I heard any Astros player try to justify what they did by saying that, yeah, you know, other teams might have been doing it, so we kind of felt like we had to stay in line with them. Nobody did that. Nobody has thrown anyone else under the bus. So I think that's been one of the refreshing ways that they've handled it. They have taken responsibility for what they did. They were given chances. You know, the question was asked, are other teams doing this? Are other teams doing something similar? And nobody would ever take the bait on it. So I give them credit for that.
Adam Spillane joining us from West Palm Beach. Adam, is there any inkling of concern that the commissioner is going to, I guess, succumb to all of the vitriol that's out there right now, all of the demand for some other sort of punishment, not necessarily on the players, because I think that's a dicey situation to go back on immunity, but tack something on to the Astros here just because there are so many torches and pitchforks going on right now?
No, I don't think anyone. I think that once they laid out the punishment on January 13th, I think everyone just figures that's going to be it. I don't think as a commissioner that you can do that. I don't think that you can be reactive like that. Now, if something comes out that maybe the Astros were doing more than they said that they were, and maybe more details come out that way, then maybe that's when you tack on punishment. But at this point, the commissioner has given out his punishment, and I think that that's just the way it's going to stay at this point.
Adam, moving on to actual baseball matters, there's a battle for playing time between Josh Reddick and Kyle Tucker. Tell me if you can interpret this dusty quote for me. The longer it goes, the more it's in Reddick's favor. The shorter it goes, the more it's in the younger player's favor.
So what he meant by that is that essentially it takes the older guys a little bit longer to get up to where they need to be when it comes to game shape, just because they're older and it just takes time for all that to happen. When you're younger, you come in and you're ready to go immediately. And I don't know, Seth, if you experienced that when you were playing, that so when you were a rookie, you came into training camp and you felt great and you were ready to go. And then when you got a little bit older, it took you a little while to get into shape. I think that's what he meant more than anything.
You know, it's actually, no, that's a great interpretation of it, Adam. And I think in football, maybe it's a little bit more the guys, the young guys, or sometimes it's the more athletic guys look a whole lot better early in camp. And it's the veteran guys that are savvy and know how to game plan versus actual opponents that it's either take a while to get going or you don't see their actual value until you get into the regular season and you can see how they game plan for various people.
That's funny because the way I hear it is I almost hear it like they say in boxing, like to beat the champ, you got to knock the champ out.
Yeah.
And if it happens early, it means that Kyle Tucker has clearly distinguished himself. The longer it goes, the more you go, well, tie goes to the more experienced player. Would that make sense too, Adam, do you think?
Not really, to be honest with you. I just think if you go the first 2 weeks of camp, and let's say Josh Reddick is hitting 150 and Kyle Tucker is hitting 350,
yeah.
I don't think that will change anything with Dusty Baker. I think that he's going to say, you know what, Josh Reddick has been through this many times before. And in all honesty, Josh Reddick knows his body, and he knows how to prepare himself for a season. Whereas when you have somebody like Kyle Tucker, he only really knows the one way to play, and that's just come in, hit, and go that way. So I don't think anything that happens in the first part of spring will matter. Now, if Kyle Tucker maintains just a monster spring and Josh Reddick struggles, well, then maybe you start to see Kyle Tucker getting the majority of the at-bats over in right field.
Adam Spillane joining us from West Palm Beach. What are you most looking forward to seeing in the spring training? Are you going to be at the game this afternoon, Adam?
No, they open tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow. Okay.
Game 8 of the World Series is tomorrow. In all honesty, the first two games, I wouldn't really – there's not going to be a whole lot to really look for. Yeah. Obviously, I think some of the regulars will play, at least on the position player side. But when it comes to the pitchers, it's going to be Christian Javier starting tomorrow, and then they don't have any big league pitchers that will follow him. And then Framber Valdez will start Sunday, and they don't have any big league pitchers on the schedule for that game either. So there's not a whole lot to look forward to in those two games. It's early spring training. I think when you start getting into next week, I believe Justin Verlander may start on Thursday. Mm. Those are the games where you'll start to pay attention a little bit.
And Adam, I know you're not going to be, even though you've been at practice every day, obviously I know you're not going to base this answer on anything you've seen just yet, because evaluating pitchers during spring training is really hard to do. But who's your early favorite in the clubhouse to be the fifth starter?
To be the fifth starter, I think it'll be Austin Pruitt. I just think that at least early on in the season, I think that just the fact that they like the versatility of Josh James in the bullpen in high leverage situations, I think early on that would give Pruitt the upper hand. And I think that Josh James wants to start, but I think that he mostly wants to be in a position where he can impact the game more. And in all honesty, I think as a high leverage reliever, I think that you can impact the game a little bit more doing that than as a fifth starter where you may be pitching to the fifth inning.
Adam Spillane, West Palm Beach, Texas Bay Credit Union, has been bringing you Adam Spillane and Brandon Scott throughout the last several days at Astros spring training. Adam, we appreciate it.
Yeah, guys, it's been fun. Thank you.
All right, there it is, Adam Spillane. I had a rough 3 minutes there. I threw a theory out there that Adam Spillane completely dismissed.
Summarily executed it.
Completely. Yeah. Just shot it down like a skeet shooter. And then I asked him about the game taking place tonight, which is taking place tomorrow. If you had me in your fantasy broadcaster team, I did not score you many points.
You know,
tonight.
Sometimes in the movies where somebody like shoots somebody out of nowhere, like you don't expect it. And it's a gangster. It's either a gangster. It's like an army general or something.
Right.
And it's like, oh, wait, this guy's about to argue for his life. Boom, dead. That's what he did
That's
to you.
That's what he did to me,
It's very shocking. It's very jarring.
Yeah, it was I kind of liked it. I'm like, okay, good. It's kind of nice sometimes when people just don't agree with you. That was a rough 3 minutes. I hope I recover from that. But that was Adam Spillane, brought to you by Texas Bay Credit Union.
The Nationals will be starting Scherzer tomorrow, though.
They will be starting Scherzer. All right, well, I know who to bet against now. All right. But you know who I blame? I'm going on our sister station up in D.C. this afternoon, and part of it in the text I got from their producer was, and we can preview the Nationals and the Astros. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, they must be starting up Friday. You know, I haven't really checked the dates on it. We've been too consumed with non-game stuff here to even look at the schedule. But then I'm thinking to myself, boy, they really want me to get on there and talk about whoever's playing for the Astros in this game. If they ask me about this game, I am going to give them an answer. I'm just going to start cackling. I'm going to start laughing. Like, really, you guys?
Nobody's ever asked about it. No.
Let me show you the text. They want to preview the Nationals and the Astros.
Oh, they do?
That's what it said in the text.
The actual, not the game, though. Not the actual, spring training game.
Just read to you what they sent to me here. It's, hey, Sean, it's Brock for Chad Dukes and the Fan in D.C. Any chance you may have some time tomorrow at 4:35 Eastern to do the show and talk about Stroh's Nats this weekend?
Oh, okay. Wow. There you go. You know what's interesting is I talked to those. I don't know if it's the same station. Is that the
same station
that
was
here?
I think it's even. Same station, but that was the midday show.
They were broadcasting from out of here during the World Series, yeah. And they were talking about how things had changed so much because they barely talked any Nationals a couple years ago, or now it's a lot of Nationals. But if they're actually going into breaking down actual spring training games and having you on to do that, that's an impressive, if not foolhardy, adventure they're undertaking. I think
it's a suicidal thing to do in drive time radio preview of spring, even for the defending World Series champions.
There are people, though. You know what? If we wanted to, we could get into it and just try to sell the drama of somebody has a bad outing. You know what always happens in spring training? Somebody's working on their slider.
Yeah.
The opposing team knows that you're working on your slider and you get shelled.
We could.
And people do freak out about it. They're like, oh, my God, Lance let up 6 runs. What the hell's going on?
That sounds like a lot of work.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of faking.
Yes. Yeah. So I am doing zero prep for that game, for this interview.
Somebody said don't embarrass yourself like Landry. When Landry went on in New York, did he embarrass himself?
I thought Landry did great. Well. Yeah. Have you had a chance to listen to any of that?
I have not. I don't, because I know Landry, for those of you that don't know, Landry went on New York's big station, the WFAN, like the original sports radio station.
Yep.
And they have a guy in the evening up there who kind of almost does a shticky, like plays a character like, I'm morally superior to you. So he was bringing Landry on, and Landry knew what he was in for.
Yeah.
So Landry right from the get-go started off combative, said he was disappointed in Yankees fans for how thin-skinned they were.
Yeah.
And that's what he said. He started off, I'm sorry.
He started off by saying he was going to apologize.
Yeah.
He gave the old, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry that's something detrimental about you. You know? So he's like, I'm sorry I overestimated the stones of Yankee fans, which was great. I thought it was a really good way to kind of disarm the guy.
So everybody I've talked to said that he did pretty well.
He did really well. Yeah. The drive-by insult, I knew when it was getting escalated a little bit, was when the guy's like, well, Landry, with takes like that, you're never going to get out of the midday.
And Landry said...
Landry replied with, oh, I didn't realize I was on in the prime time here in the evenings.
And the night show is such a big deal in New York.
Yeah,
wow.
Like, nice.
City that never sleeps. Sounds pretty exciting there in the Big Apple.
That's right. Nice counterpunch by old Land Locke. I liked it, yeah.
So I guess to get back to the topic of whether it's going to affect Altuve or not, like Big Poppy suggested that it might.
Right.
The one thing I wonder is, okay, Altuve's never been the villain before by a long shot. Villain's the guy. Altuve's the guy that other fan bases can't help but respect.
Universally beloved.
So now, even though it very much looks like Altuve didn't participate, he's still, in many people's minds, the face of the scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how much that might affect him. That's the only thing I would worry about.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.